B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Toughness in him, you know, that he needs to be a champion. And that's my biggest concern, is that he'll never be that guy, not because he can't shoot, but because he doesn't have the mental toughness. And then I'd like to make one Eagles point.
Go for it.
Okay.
Go for it.
The offensive coordinator of LSU, that's got to be our target for offensive coordinator. My goodness, that guy.
What is his name?
A Brady, unfortunately. But, but I'm telling you, the Eagles need to go all out for that guy. He had experience with the Saints. I mean, this guy, oh my goodness, like you were just talking about, 60 touchdowns. Could you imagine that offensive coordinator with Carson Wentz? That would be a dream come true.
Yeah, the last time I saw his name pop up, it came up with the Eagles, but also the Panthers.
But
they had somebody else. They had somebody else, I want to say, upstairs that like oversees their offense as well, and it wasn't the young guy. And yeah, Joe Brady is his name. But I'm trying to think of the older gentleman that was in the booth as well.
He's the one whose daughter-in-law got killed in the plane crash,
that's right?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I'm blanking on it, too.
Yeah, I can't remember. But, no, man, I'm open to any and all ideas. John,
all right.
John,
have
thanks
a
for
good
the
day.
You too, man. Thanks for the call. Before we get to Paul Hudrick, Jamie, just real quick, do you have the splits?
Yeah, I got them right here. So I didn't clarify this last time. This is the postseason splits.
Still.
In 2017, the year they won the World Series.
When they're
the
going
Dodgers.
Up against playoff teams?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
When it's most important?
Uh huh.
Yeah. Jose Altuve at home hit 472. 513 on base with over 1,000 slugging.
513 on base percentage.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think that means half the times he came to at-bat...
He got on base.
He got on base. Yeah, that's pretty solid. Away, 143 batting average, 268 on base, 229 slugging. Right. Alex Cora, 371 at home batting average, 421 on base, 743 slugging. Away, 211 batting average, 231 on base, 395 slugging. And Alex Bregman, this is the last one I'll do, because it goes on and on and on for everybody. Alex Bregman, at home, 273 batting average, 342 on base, 515 slugging. Away, 154 batting average, 175 on base, 333 slugging.
That is incredible. Absolutely.
Not a coincidence.
So, 2 years now, first and second round picks, docked for the Astros. They suspend the manager and general manager for a year. Owner goes, nope, we need a clean slate. To hell with that punishment. I'm going beyond that. They're fired. AJ Hinch, Jeff Ludlow fired from their position, so they're done. With that being said, Jeff Ludlow.
Hire him, Phillies.
One Citizens Bank way is really nice. Yeah, you should check that out in the not too distant future. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. We still have another pair of Temple tickets we want to give away. We'll do that in this hour for the Temple basketball game. Tomorrow night, January 15th at 9 p.m. at the Lea Coors Center, where Temple is taking on Wichita State. Unlimited hot dogs at that game, by the way. Popcorn and soda, plus a game ticket. You can get all that for only $22. Visit owlsticks.com. Plenty of meat still on the bone when it comes to the Sixers' loss last night. Paul Hudrick of NBC Sports Philadelphia will be joining us in just 1 second. But it has been this loss against the Pacers last night, with all that's been going on, all that happened last night. Brad Marchand being able to give the Flyers a win in the shootout. Travis Konecny being able, sorry, Bob, Travis Konecny scoring to get him the win.
Let's give the proper due.
And then Marchand overskating the puck. Hilarious. And the national championship game. And then the Astros punishment. So much going on. But today, Trey, it's been like, we were comparing this at a break. It's been like the day after an Eagles loss.
Mm-hmm.
That's how people have been reacting to this loss with the Sixers. And to help us dissect it a little further, Paul Hudrick from NBC Sports Philadelphia is joining us right now. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning, Mark.
This is the first time we're talking this season, and I know we talk often about this squad, man. It was a very frustrating loss, especially when you saw Ben Simmons dominated so much in the first half and then disappear in the second half. What happened that turned the tide so much?
That is an excellent question. It seems like a change in mindset to me. In the first half, That was honestly the best offensive first half I think I've ever seen him play basketball. He was unreal. He was getting wherever he wanted on the floor. When he got to the rim, he was throwing it down at people's faces. It was like Giannis-esque how he dominated in that first half. And the second half, you just didn't see the same guy. And it's with Ben, it's everything is so exacerbated. I'm sure we're going to get to this, the lovely three-point shooting display they put on last night and the night before. But when they're not hitting shots, his limits in a half court is so exacerbated. And then, you know, I think a part of the issue is, too, Indiana did a really excellent job clocking the paint in the second half last night. So I think it was part Ben Simmons and not carrying the same mindset over into the second half. And I think it was also just Indiana, you know, saying, okay, this guy scored 20 points in the first half. We're not going to let that happen again. And then guys just not maximizing those opportunities. They had so many chances to put that team away last night and didn't. And, you know, a part of that is the uneven play of Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, Paul, that I look at is if he did have that mid-range game, it would be a lot easier for spacing on the floor, and you would also have Ben Simmons not being taken out of a game offensively so much, and I don't think it would be that much of a difference between the first and second half if he just had that extra aspect. What do you think?
So I know there's a lot of talk about, you know, the mid-range shot versus the three-point shot and all that, but the understanding, I think, like the fundamental understanding of that is a mid-range shot is typically going to be like off the dribble, right? It's not going to be a catch-and-shoot opportunity. So, you know, think about like when you play basketball, like all of us played basketball in some form or another at some point. Shooting off the dribble is much more difficult than catching and shooting. You know what I mean? So the three-point shot is just an easier one to step into and grow into, whereas kind of off the dribble and you know, shooting in the mid-range is a little bit tougher. In general, yes. I mean, him shooting the basketball is just going to make him infinitely more dangerous as a basketball player, and the Sixers infinitely more dangerous as a basketball team. But it's the last night, what I was disappointed in, again, it was just he looked so dominant in that first half, and he was doing what he wanted. And I think some of those, maybe not as much, but some of those opportunities were there in the second half, and it seemed like he kind of didn't finish them. And that's what's so manning about Ben Simmons in general.
I know we're going to be talking about Ben Simmons for the majority of this call with you, Paul, but I do want to jump to this real quick. Speaking with Paul Hudrick at NBC Sports Philadelphia, the last play, one of the last plays of the game, inbounds from Ben Simmons to Al Horford. Al Horford does a little fake, but it looks like all intent was to go to Tobias Harris on the perimeter. He shoots the three, gets it blocked. It didn't seem like the best drawn-up play we've seen so far this season.
I didn't hate it. I mean, okay. The thing is, I think it was an execution thing. I mean, Tobias got his pump fake there.
TJ I'll agree with.
Because TJ Warren's flying at him. He got through a screen, and, you know, it's an aggressive closeout. He's pump fake. TJ Warren's flying by him, and he's got a wide open look. So I didn't necessarily hate the look. I think, you know, my guess is, you know, whenever the coach shows up a play, there's multiple options. It's not just for that. Brett did say that it was kind of supposed to be Tobias. In that situation, the way Josh Richardson played in the fourth quarter, you could argue that, yeah, maybe the play should be going to him. He had 17 of his 23 in the fourth. So, yeah, you could make that argument. But I didn't hate the look. And I think if Tobias just shoots TJ Warren a pump fake, he's got a wide open three.
Paul, how do you feel? I know when you're around the team all the time, you can really get a feel of what the vibe is. And after Christmas, I'm sure it was great, big win against Milwaukee. But since then, things have been a little rough, especially on the road. Do you get a feeling of frustration coming from the players over what's going on lately, or have they kind of kept it pretty even keel?
I mean, there's definitely a weirdness, Bob. It's and even like Brett pregame, Noah Levick, who does a great job for us at NBC Sports Philadelphia, he wrote a piece just kind of saying how they have no offensive identity really at all. And like Brett's doing a lot of weird stuff, and you can sense his kind of frustration and his kind of like not knowing exactly what to do with these pieces. When, you know, and last night, I was confused, and I don't think anyone asked Brett about it last night, but James Ennis just didn't play last night, which I found really odd. And it's just there's this sense of, I guess, guys like still kind of feeling out there. I mean, we're halfway through the season, and there's just a sense of these guys still not knowing exactly what their roles are. There are some things that are getting better. We see, like, you know, Josh Richardson obviously is definitely finding his place. Al Horford defensively has been a million times better over the last couple games as they changed some defensive coverages. But yeah, there's clearly frustration. I mean, these guys can't win on the road, and they can't figure it out. So I mean, you hear it in their voices. There's definitely some frustration. I'm not. You know, Josh Richardson obviously had the very controversial comments on New Year's Eve after they got crushed by the Pacers. You know, the whole accountability thing. I don't get the sense there's anything like that right now. And Josh was kind of quick last night today. No, like, we're good. We're together. It's just we're not. We just got to find a way to win.
So what do you need to see from this team? What changes would you like to see made where they can either, you know, aside from get healthy, because we can't wave a magic wand, what do you want to see by the next time they step onto the court? What do you want to see in that game?
I mean, to make shots. I think it might be that simple. I mean, they're just, you can't, you saw what happened the last two games. And again, just to go back to it with Ben Simmons, when the team isn't hitting shots around him, it makes all of his flaws stand out even more. And you saw, like, a game like Christmas, they hit 21 threes. I think that was a Christmas Day record. Ben Simmons looks terrific in that game, and it's because of that. It's because they're hitting shots around him. So, and that's not letting Ben off the hook. I mean, Ben's still got to be better, but it's just they just have to make shots. I mean, I don't think Elton Brand. Who knows? I don't think he's going to make a trade before Wednesday, but that might be what needs to happen. I mean, they need shooters. They need someone who can just come in and make a shot cold, and you're not getting it right now. Mike Scott's in like an epic slump. I mean, this is kind of what he does. He'll go through stretches where he can't feel like he can't make anything. Then he'll go through stretches where he feels like he can't miss anything. So that's just the way that kind of goes. But I mean, overall, they just lack consistent shooting. And I think that's a big part of their problem.
Well, I think part of it is they're not a really good shooting team. And yet, that's the way players are being drawn up. And I said earlier, Paul, and tell me if you agree with this or not, the game against Milwaukee, which might be their, Mark labeled it, maybe the best win of the Brett Brown era non-playoff, might have been fool's gold because you made 21 of 44 threes, and I don't see them being that team. Are they being asked to do things that they're simply not great at doing?
It's a fair point, and it might. I mean, 21, but yeah, I can't imagine them even coming close to that number with the current roster they have. But I think you have to try. It's such like a catch-22 thing because you sort of have to shoot them when they're there, you know? I mean, when you have Joel Embiid, when you have Ben Simmons, you have these guys who are so good, you know, at drawing attention and drawing attention to the paint, and teams are going to do things. They're going to do outrageous things like play zones against you because you're so good, you know, in the interior, and you have guys that can post up and do things, you know, in the mid-range and do things in the post. You're going to have to make those shots, and it is a little bit of these guys aren't great shooters. I mean, they have some good shooters. They don't have like any dead eye guys that just you look at and say, okay, this guy, we need to be worried because this guy hits threes. I mean, clearly Tobias Harris is a guy that they want him to take more and make more, and he's shown that he could do it in the past. Not really sure what's happened here that he hasn't done that as much. Josh Richardson is a guy who, you know, he's probably like right around his career average right now. I think he's like 35%. So Al Horford's a little bit below, but yeah, there is a little bit of these guys being asked to do something that they're not that great at, but I also think in today's NBA and with the way the team is constructed, they need to hit them. They need to take them.
Paul right now, speaking with Paul Hudrick, NBC Sports Philadelphia, right now the Sixers are 25th in the NBA in 3 points attempted. Now, a lot of people think they're like top 10 in 3 points attempted per game, but they're 25th. They're 17th in terms of 3-point percentage. Why does it seem like the Sixers are a team that shoots the most threes in the NBA when they maybe only hit, I don't know, 20% of them?
I guess because of the way the NBA is now. I mean, this is just, you know, the Steph Curry and the Warriors and all that, and the way the league has trended just towards a 3-point shot, it's just a big part of every team's offense. So you're just going to see, I mean, there's just, that's just the way it goes. I mean, it's a 3-point league. Brett Brown is in his career. That's, you know, the offense he runs is pace and space. Wants to spread the floor and he wants to take open threes. He wants to get open looks. Doesn't, you know, to Bob's point, doesn't necessarily have the roster for that right now. And he's admitted that he's trying to make adjustments. But again, they still have to take him, and it's just, this is the way the league is, and I don't see it turning back anytime soon.
Speaking with Paul Hudrick, Paul, last one for you here, and I'm hoping, and we're all hoping the Sixers get off the schneid here when they play in their next road game. But here's the most hot pressing issue. What is the greatest Will Ferrell movie quote ever?
The greatest full-throttle
I'm put. Yeah, I'm putting you on the spot, man. You know what? You could even go television. If you want to go eastbound and down, what's the one that gives you the ha-has immediately?
Well, I shared this with you around New Year's.
Yes.
It was the outtakes, the whole thing to him on eastbound and down, the outtakes, the whole thing. I mean, I don't even know if I want to get the whole plum thing and let the boy watch. It gets me every time. So good.
Yeah, it's pretty damn good. Hey, Paul, you say hi to that sweet mother of yours for me, all right?
I will. Did Mark present a fan club president? I should
hear. And thank you so much, Paul. It's great talking to you as always, man. We'll talk to you throughout the season.
Anytime, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely. Paul Hudrick, NBC Sports Philadelphia, and the My Teams app as well. Yeah, you just sent me the clip that we referenced a bunch. And
Donna.
It's like experiencing it for the first time every time. Love it so much. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Dell in Germantown, you're on 975 The Fanatic. What's up, Dell? Dell? Put you back on hold there. Joey in Philly. What's up, Joey?
Yo, what's up, guys?
Hey, buddy.
All right.
Listen, I just want to make the short and sweet, and I say this. I say wave Wentz and bye Burrow.
Thanks, Joe.
All right.
Short and sweet. All right. 45 minutes is what he waited to say that.
Part of me...
Impressed?
Oh, my God.
No. Here we go. No, Jamie. I wouldn't do it, but Joe Burrow is the most intriguing quarterback prospect coming out of the draft since Peyton Manning. Just saying that. I'm not saying I would do anything. I just don't think it's that crazy. And I don't want to trade Carson Wentz. I'm not saying I agree with it.
Carson Wentz.
It's not that hot of a take.
Why on that LSU team?
I have no idea. I don't think he's putting up 60 touchdowns.
Oh, that's a pretty talented offensive squad.
Joe Burrow...
Why couldn't you say this at 9:50? Now we're going to get calls, you jerk.
He's near perfect.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. And I've never seen
It's not an insult to Carson Wentz.
I've never seen Carson Wentz smoke a cigar in a locker
room.
That's
true.
So
smoke a cigar, you coward.
So I'm going to say this. I'll call you a coward. I'll trade Carson Wentz right now for Joe Burrow right now.
I mean, Carson's proven it on the big stage, and Burrow hasn't, but man, he is damn good.
So I'm not the biggest college football fan. You know that. And I was watching last night, and I was just like, wow.
Did you see that one touchdown that the guy, I forget his name, Chase, dropped? It was literally on his outside shoulder at the pylon.
Uh-huh.
And it was like a 45-yard bomb in the air.
And then I also saw, I think it was their first possession, where he was basically in the end zone for a safety, escaped two tacklers, bombed it downfield to the 45-yard line with his back foot on like the 3-yard line, and then it got called back for an illegal man downfield.
Yeah.
And I was like, do it again. And he did it again.
Yeah. Trey, it was cool to see your boy Randy Moss in the stands looking like a proud papa.
Hey, absolutely.
That was pretty awesome.
Watching your son go win a national championship.
Two touchdowns.
Yeah. Mm.
Was Howie watching the game last night?
I hope so.
I'm just curious because those guys look like they're good at catching footballs.
There was this guy, Jefferson. He made this one cutback move on the sideline that no Eagle receiver could do. You should have interest in him. There's this other guy named T. Higgins on Clemson.
Who will be the DK?
You should have interest in him.
Who will be the DK Metcalf this year? Who will be the guy that the Eagles draft? Like, they draft someone else three steps behind or three steps or four.
Yeah, we'll see. And Delpit, the safety on LSU, if he's somehow there at 21, you have to seriously consider it.
Let's party. Ernie in Conchie. What's up, Ernie?
Hey, what's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good, man.
All right. Hey, listen, y'all want Ben Simmons to shoot that jump shot? You gotta get Daddy's friend out of here. Daddy's friend gotta go.
Oh, you gotta get Brett Brown out of here.
Yeah, that's Daddy's friend.
All right, who's he gonna listen to then? If you fire Brett Brown, who's gonna come in and tell Ben Simmons to shoot a jumper?
I don't know, but he's not listening to Daddy's friend, because that's how he views him.
Right.
He don't view him as a head coach.
Okay.
He views him as Daddy's friend. And Daddy's friend ain't gonna tell me to do anything.
Okay, so let's
get somebody in here that's not connected to Australia, not connected to nothing he's done, and getting his bottom.
No connections to Australia. If anyone has been in Australia ever in their life, guess what? I don't want him on the coaching staff.
Not connected to Ben Simmons at all.
Ernie.
If you don't shoot,
Ernie,
you're going to be on the bench.
Ernie.
If you don't like that, be getting you out of here.
Ernie.
I've never seen this before, man.
Ernest.
I'm a basketball fan.
Ernie.
I've been watching basketball since 68.
Hello?
I mean, yes.
Oh, hey. So, hey.
No,
hold on a second.
This is crazy.
Ernie, brother, my man, pots and pans, brother, hold on. When you look at this coaching staff, so what? You said you don't know. But what if for a second? Because, look, I'm not disagreeing with you. But when I have the same argument, when that thought crosses my mind of, well, to hell with it, fire Brett Brown. When that thought crosses my mind, I say, all right, well, what am I solving with that? Who am I putting in place to be a better coach? Because maybe it's not the head coach. Maybe it's the player that can't get it through his head that he needs to have at least a mid-range game in the NBA if he wants to be a truly great player.
Well, maybe he shouldn't be an NBA. Maybe he needs to be.
All right, come on. Ernie, thanks for the comment. I think we all realize that Ben Simmons should be in the NBA, so let me just push that aside. But if you, good God, man.
That's a hot take.
Why? I don't want to put the quarter.
Does he belong in the NBA? 6'1".
All right, anyway. So what do you do if you hire a guy off the bench as your head coach? What if it's a Joe Blair? What if it's a John Bryant from St. Joe's, right? He's an assistant coach. What if it is one of the Jim O'Brien, who's now, I believe, a senior advisor to the head coach? I don't know what that is. If it's an assistant, I don't know. But what if you go in that route? Are those guys going to be all of a sudden waving a magic wand where you can make Ben Simmons shoot a jump shot?
That's the question to me is that, okay, you know, you say Brett Brown has said something to him, and I'm sure even his dad has said something to him. His brother is his shooting coach.
Right.
Has said something to him, and he still refuses to do it. So, you know, what outside voice? Because to me, I would like to think that I have more of an influence over my kids than an outside voice. And if I'm saying, hey, man, listen, I need you to you got to take the shot.
I can't imagine. And this is what I'll go through. Remember when the quote came out before last season? I believe it was on NBA TV. Ben Simmons said no one ever taught him how to shoot. That's not something he ever learned at any age. You go back and you watch his high school footage.
Well, he was draining threes.
He's shooting. Yeah. Right?
I really do find that hard to believe.
So,
you're a little kid and you grab a basketball. It's the first thing that somebody's doing is like, okay, let me get four other guys so you can learn how to throw it to them.
I don't want to, you know, I never played in the NBA. All right, let me just get that out of the way for those that don't know. I never played in the NBA. my father, Joe Farzetta, never played in the NBA, never played in college, right? Yet Joe Farzetta took me out in the driveway and, like, taught me how to shoot. Grade school coaches I had taught me how to shoot. I would like to think that if my dad was a professional basketball player, at some point he would also taught me how to shoot. And if I was going to be some prodigy, if I grew to, you know, like 4 feet when I was 7 years old, by all means, you know what? I'd think that I was going to the NBA. I'd like to think at some point he learned how to shoot. Evidently, it never happened. At least it didn't happen at a point where he'd have confidence in doing it at the professional level, which is insane to even think about. Like that would be a hot take. Like, if a guy had all this talent, but he just couldn't shoot, people wouldn't believe it if you presented this story to somebody else. Yet there it is. Great defender. Ben Simmons is a great defender, elite defender. Do not doubt that even a little bit. He can rebound. He can get assists. But when it comes to scoring on his own, if it's not around the rim, where Bob, as you've pointed out many times, he even struggles with finishing at the rim, then he's got no shot of scoring outside of that. If he can't even finish at the rim, and he has struggles in that regard, and he can't take it out to the 10, 15-foot range, well, then what are you doing with a guy that's with all that talent, but that one little thing that's not there is so huge. Well, it's not even little. That one thing that's not there is so huge in taking you from maybe an all-star to definitely an MVP candidate.
Yeah, it's almost you want to go to an extreme. Like, Trey, you know, going through a long season, every once in a while, a coach will do something fun at practice, totally off the wall at practice, just to break up the, you know, mundane atmosphere that is being built. But so I would do this with Ben Simmons one time. All right, we're going to scrimmage for an hour today. Ben, I want you to be the lead scorer on that team, and you're not allowed to score in the lane.
Mm-hmm.
I swear to God, I would. I would.
Why
I would
not?
Say you have to. Look, Ben is a focus point. I want you to lead this team in scoring, but do not shoot in the lane.
You know what? I don't rule out anything that might be, oh, well, come on. Well, why would that work? Well, maybe because you haven't tried it yet. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no solution that I'm going, nope, can't do it. There's no proposal, I should say, that I'm saying, no, that wouldn't work. The hell with it. It's been 3 years. Try it. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up in a minute, we'll let you hear TJ McConnell in game last night. Also, a special announcement coming up about our cornhole weekend, which is Friday, January 31st. Some great prizes attached to that as well. We'll get to that in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're going to be announcing cornhole teams on Thursday. We have about 300 teams registered on 97.5thefanatic.com.
Yeah, man.
Toll Man Joe's Friday, January 31st, Friday before the Super Bowl. Maybe Andy Reid coaching in that Super Bowl. For the For the first time since he was coaching this fellow named Trey Thomas.
Let's get it, Big Red.
I know you're pulling for him.
Yeah, man. He and Coach Spagnuolo.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
damn right. Another defensive coordinator.
G. Lou.
That's right.
Wide receivers back out there.
Yeah. Eric Bieniemy.
LeSean. Up there with those names. Mike Kafka. You know, we laugh. What is he? Quarterbacks coach out there?
Yeah,
I know he was quarterbacks. Mike Kafka, who had a cup of coffee with the Eagles, Northwestern guy.
That's right. He was with us for a year.
Yeah. Extremely nice. Nice guy. He's on the bench on the coaching staff for a couple of years out there. He might be one of those names in a couple of years as the offensive coordinator candidate. Some names floated out there for the Eagles as well. But we'll be talking about that. But right before the Super Bowl, that Friday, we're going to be hosting our second annual Cornhole Championship at Toll Man Joe's this year. Some great prizes. We've mentioned Steven Singer. We've mentioned Parks Casino. But how about this? Fire Pit from Landis Block. We also have an annual golf pass added to one of our winners this year from Linfield National Golf Club. How about that?
I'm actually going to steal that prize.
Oh, are you now?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. So, I might steal this next prize. Sweet tickets to a Sixers game.
Yeah, that'll be a good time.
We're putting together a whole big prize pack for our winners there. But you know what? Let's let everybody win right now. Because I think no matter what jersey the man wears, we will always love TJ McConnell, won't we, Bobby?
Yeah, he's pretty good, dude.
So last night, wheels are falling off for the 76ers, unfortunately, as they lose to the Pacers. But TJ McConnell was mic'd up, I believe, by Fox Sports Indiana and had some great trash talk. First thing you'll hear is him talking to Mike Scott, and he says, "You ain't about this life." You'll hear it. Then you'll hear him razzing Furkan Korkmaz for his bright green shoes. And then you'll even hear him talk smack to Brett Brown about Brett Brown getting a technical?
Technical, yeah.
So there's a fine right there. He has some fun with him. And then he also has fun with Ben Simmons on the Clemson-LSU game last night. Here's TJ McConnell last night.
"You ain't about this. Go back down there. Your Redskins were good this year.
Those shoes are terrible. Why? Those green shoes.
Hey, did you lose a bet wearing those? I'm a huge Clemson fan tonight. Huge Clemson fan."
by the way, Mike Scott, you could tell, like, cracked a smile a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit, right? Mm-hmm. "You ain't about this life," telling that to Mike Scott, man. The cojones you have to have. And then Ben Simmons, though, no laughing.
Yeah.
No, the LSU thing didn't really go over well there.
And I think that was before kickoff, by the way. I also tweeted out the video from Fox Sports Indiana, if you haven't seen it yet. It is it's a good time. Philip, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Philip?
How y'all doing today, man?
Good, man.
Good.
You know, the irony in this Ben Simmons and Brett Brown situation is a little bit comical, probably in a sad way, is that because there's a caller, I don't know the guy's name or whatever, called in, and I don't pay attention to this stuff like other people may do, but he mentioned how Ben had never played point guard until he got into the NBA, right? So,
oh, if he said that, I missed it, because he was a point forward in college, but he played the role of point guard.
okay, whatever it may be. But the point I'm trying to make, right, is the irony is like the guy who is allowing you to live your dream is playing the point guard in the NBA. You may be the person to help him get fired. And the comedy is this, is that the next person to come in, whoever that may be, they may not allow you to play point guard. So the one person who's allowing you to live out your dream, now you and your father, both of them said you always wanted to be a point guard, the one person who is allowing you to do that in the NBA, you will not listen to them enough. You're in my opinion, arrogant, you know, dismissive and everything like that enough. You're not listening to some of the base things this guy is asking you to do. And he's allowing you to live your dream to play a point guard in the NBA. And the next person to come in, because he will eventually be king, and a lot of it is because of you, that next person may not allow you to do that. You may be playing power forward or something like that.
Yeah, that's a great point, Philip. Hey, Philip, do you like Wawa?
I love Wawa.
You love Wawa, don't you?
Work for Wawa.
Oh, there it is.
Well, guess what?
Way back in the day.
I got to tell you right now, Wawa is going to give back to you, my friend. You know why? Because we have a great Wawa prize pack that you just won, Philip. How's that grab you?
You know that Indian commercial back in the day with the tear coming down? That's me right now. I'm for Clint.
That's awesome.
I appreciate it. I have no more.
I got nothing. I don't know how to respond. Philip, where are you from, man?
I'm from Chester, Pennsylvania.
My man, I'm going to put you on hold. We're going to get your info, dude. That Indian, that commercial with the Native American, it was a little different.
That's a long time ago. That's before your time.
No, you're thinking of the... You're thinking a weird naked Indian guy.
Yeah, but wasn't there like a cutaway in the commercial segment? Maybe I'm thinking of something else.
Wait.
Some other montage scene has that commercial in it. Maybe it's not Wayne's World. Just forgive me.
Was it Coca-Cola?
I don't know.
Give the world a smile.
Tiny,
give the world a
orange. Motrin.
Dude, don't. Are you really going to do that with Wayne's World quotes with me?
Did I screw up?
Yeah, you big time, buddy.
Damn it.
I'll let it go.
Thank you.
Nuprin. Little. Yeah. Yellow. Different. Nuprin. It's like people just do things because they get paid. And that's just really sad, wearing all the Reebok.
Stop
it. It's giving me a headache.
Bob, have you ever seen Wayne's World?
Yes, I've seen Wayne's World.
Too. Hey, good job, Bobby.
I used to be able to recite
the
movie.
Today?
Yeah, why are you
asking if you saw a movie as being an ass?
A little bit. When you started the day out with... okay, Boomer, and now you're asking me about movies. Try to embarrass me at 9:40.
Trey, they're fighting again. Yes.
Is that what it is? Yes. Oh, yeah. We should hold that for the 5 o'clock hour.
This is Irish on Irish crime.
They're fighting again.
Buddy, does your family have a Chris?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, they do?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's not bad. Jamie was cool enough to look it up for us last week. There's a couple versions of it.
Yours has a fist in it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I like Bob's family seal. It's a leprechaun shooting a free throw. It's amazing.
With good
wearing,
on his
hand. Wearing a Larry Bird jersey,
starting from the toes.
It's a leprechaun pantomiming dribbling, and he's writing a newspaper article in the other. It's pretty amazing. It's pretty wild. I'm sorry, Bob. You were yes, go.
No, that's all right. We're good.
I just be honest with me. In the 5 o'clock hour with Jamie, no kidding around.
Okay.
You're a little pissed off
today.
Yeah,
probably. I don't remember. I would say that's every.
I came out of order today.
Yeah, I usually come in like, okay, sports night. Let's talk about it. He comes in with like at 5:02, and then Ben Simmons won't shoot the ball. And it's like
it was right, mostly the national championship game ended at 12:15 that got me.
I was gonna say. Stupid game that ended at 1 o'clock in the morning.
His tweet last night was, seriously, ref, you're not even considering my bedtime?
Jerks.
Those refs
suck.
That's exactly what he tweeted.
Those refs added like 35, 40 minutes on that game last night. Hey, screw them.
Joe Burrow had time to smoke a cigar, man, in that locker room.
Do you know where those refs were from?
SEC?
Pac-12.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Don't draft Pac-12 players.
I was just going to say. JJ, I think a Whiteside made a living off the old living. Well, maybe he did. He's still a college athlete. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, we got Belial. We got Jay and KOP. Open lines after that if you want to get in the final segment. Time of the Fanatic is 9:40.
Farsetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Bobby Boy on Twitter just sent me the Wayne's World gif of him rolling his stomach.
I forgot about that.
When he's in the bedroom with Cassandra.
Ah, Cassandra.
And it's like he jumps on her, and you see on the bottom, gratuitous sex scene. It just says it on the bottom.
That movie was so damn good.
It gets better.
Yeah.
I remember watching it when I was like 8 years old, being like, I don't get it, but it's funny to me for whatever reason. And then I watched it as like a semi-adult, and I'm like, this movie's awesome.
Yeah, it ages very well.
It does. And you know, Wayne's World 2, I will say underrated.
Not that bad.
Underrated.
Chris Farley is the roadie?
Oh, yeah. And you know, this is going to blow your mind. You remember the show Oz on HBO?
Yeah.
The guy that played the like main character, if you will, with Oz, in the show, he was Terry in Wayne's World.
Yes.
The guy that would always say, I love you, man. I like you too, Terry. That type of thing. Yep, that was the same guy. That blows a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing.
Just saying is all. You still trading Carson Wentz for Joe Burrow, you scumbag?
I just don't think it's a hot take.
Well, you said the most intriguing prospect.
Yes. I mean, so there's a long way between doing it on the big stage and doing it in college.
Of course.
But man, is he... If I'm a Cincinnati Bengal fan, I'm jacked out of my mind.
What do people used to say about the president? I want the president to be somebody I can have a beer with. Like, first off, no, I don't. Like, no. And then the second is, like, I want my quarterback to smoke a cigar in... I want my quarterback to smoke a cigar with me.
Yeah.
That's Joe Burrow over...
Did you see the hat he was wearing in the locker room?
Was it BD?
Yep. BDJ, not BDN. Violation-ish?
Yeah. Well, I'll say this.
I gotta go, yeah.
I will say Nick Foles' hat should now read biggest.
Ah.
You're welcome, ladies.
How do you know?
per reports. Belial, what's up, man?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Good.
Good. Hey, I think it was Graf who said it, you know, perfectly this morning. Brett Brown gotta go, man. He's gotta go. I mean, his substitution, like, he'll sub four players at one time. That's AAU, man. I played AAU. Like, that's high school, elementary school, junior. He doesn't have the X's and O's understanding when it comes to game preparing. Now, he's a good development coach, but he doesn't know the X's and O's when it comes to basketball. Now, y'all want to say, who can we bring in if we get rid of Brett Brown?
Yes.
Maybe y'all know better than I, but what is wrong with Mark Jackson? Mark Jackson is a tremendous coach. He did it when he played, and he did it in Golden State. Like, I don't understand.
No, he didn't.
Why? How he didn't do it in Golden State?
What did he win in Golden State? What did he win in? Golden State needed to fire him to bring somebody else in to take them to the next level. Well, I'm looking to go to the next level now.
Okay, so when they fired him, okay, so it was a rumor out there saying that it was a problem with him and ownership. So
and now, the players. I was out in Golden State when this was all going down, yeah.
Okay, and the players. You know why? Because they didn't want to play hard. He's a hard-nosed player, and that's what the Sixers need. The Sixers need somebody that's going to make them play hard.
Brett Brown was a hard-nosed player.
Brett Brown, how is he a hard-nosed player?
I said he was. I talked to Rick Pitino about him. Said he was one of the hardest players he ever had play for him.
Who, Brett Brown?
Yeah.
I can't see it. I can't see it in this game.
I didn't see it either. He played like 30 years ago.
All right. Let me say something.
Yeah.
The Sixers won 50 games, right?
Yes, twice.
A couple of years. They won despite of the coach. They won because of the talent. And now that he's over, he has more talent, he doesn't know what to do with it.
Well, hopefully he'll win 50 games again at least, because I don't think they're going to fire him within the season. The people, look, I understand the people that want to fire Brett Brown. I get it. It's hard to defend the guy right now when the team is having struggles. They don't have their best player. I'm not making excuses for him. But maybe it does. Maybe it is time to have that different voice in the locker room. My greater concern is maybe that voice doesn't even matter to some of these guys. And that's why
that's the biggest concern, yes.
So like, if you want to go down that road, I understand. But as of right now, I'm not so sure these guys are going to listen to anybody that doesn't have a number of championship rings as a head coach. And that's a bigger concern for me. Sam Wilson, what is the final on our Twitter poll today?
Today we asked, what's the biggest problem for the Sixers right now? Ben Simmons' jumper, Brett Brown, or Joel Embiid's health? We had just under 3,000 votes today. 43% said Brett Brown.
43% go with him, number one. What's number two?
39% say Ben Simmons' jumper.
And nobody's upset about Joel Embiid's health.
Only 18%.
Well, there you go. And who brings us that fine Twitter poll?
Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
And Sam Wilson, what is your takeaway of the day?
Okay, so I already have a lot of jobs on this show, but I got a new one today.
What's that?
As it was just official from Jamie Lynch. I am Jamie Lynch's fart bulletproof vest.
What? All right, HR isn't listening. They're in a meeting right now.
How did this come about?
Because Bob just came in and you could tell he had something planned. And he saw me and he was like, "Oh, Sam's in here. Jamie, you're lucky." And Jamie was like, "Thank the Lord for Sam."
I refute that report.
You were going to hot. you guys were going to get hotboxed. Is basically what was going to happen.
Yeah, but I saved it because it's my new job title.
Sam to the rescue. Hotbox.
God bless you, Sam.
Jamie Lynch.
My takeaway of the day is the Cincinnati Bengals should be counting their lucky stars. They were the worst team in the NFL this year because Joe Burrow, he's going to be something special.
Bob Cooney.
Sam, you are in my crosshairs. Watch out.
My power is now gone.
That's right.
Hey, good job, LSU.
How about that? My takeaway of the day is Brad Marchand. You suck. And I enjoyed laughing my ass off at you. Stay tuned
Astros,
for the end.
You also suck.
Astros are great as far as I'm concerned.
TK is great.
Get some of that cheating power, Phillies. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano show. Anthony was just out in Indiana. I'm sure he's got plenty on this loss to the Pacers. Time of the Fanatic, 9:54.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.